This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You could turn to Jay Huff, but Jay Huff, I think, you know, he's good in stretches. I the way I look at it,
the way I've always looked at Huff is he makes plays that catch your eyes. He's a great shooter, and he blocks shots.
He blocks shots,
but like he's kind of like he's like the running back that can hit the home run, but. Sometimes
like a scat bat.
Yeah, he's Darren Sproles-y, but obviously
I was about to say the same name.
The irony is that Darren Sproles is like not 7 feet. But it's like sometimes you just kind of want that. This was how I talked myself into when the Giants let Saquon go. You know, he's just hitting home runs. You know, it's down to down. He's not nowhere near like, you know, he doesn't get you 5 yards. Like that's part of the equation. Mm-hmm. It's like the things that you talk yourself into. But I think it's still obvious to me. It's like, you're still probably making Edie option number one.
Yeah, or you're going to play Jaren a little bit more at the five, which would make sense if you get Vince and Mark, those guys back, because how are you going to use all these wings? I think it's very realistic to say, hey, look, Vince, who would be the other one?
So at this point, it's Gigi, because now you've got Kennard out, Marcus Smart's out, so then it becomes Vince, Gigi.
They're going to play a little bit more at the four. Oh, Jalen Wells.
Yeah, Wells, obviously.
Jake LaRavia.
Yep.
Marcus Smart.
But Marcus would be out in the trade.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So your wings would be – your primary wings are Butler and then whatever you decide.
Jalen Wells.
Between Wells,
Vince,
Gigi, LaRavia.
That's solid.
I'm just really worried about the front court.
I think what they would do is – Zach Edey and Jaren would play most of all the center minutes. Jay Huff will get mixed in there. You'd see more Gigi at the four, which we've seen in stretches a little bit now. You're gonna he's put on a little weight. He had a play on that play against Karl Anthony Towns where it was just them on an island and Cat, you know, bumped him in the chest a couple times and he didn't really move Gigi much.
The only thing that the other question of this is, are we sure Jimmy Butler is still like? Because I mean, we're renting him.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like,
I need the toughness. I need the physicality. You're going to get the hungry version of him.
Well, and you also get
he's like, got a lot to prove.
He does give you the late second. Somebody's got to go get a bucket.
Half court offense is going to get a guy.
Like your half court offense gets better. Your front court gets worse. But overall, are you net positive? That's the question.
I think so. Because Brandon Clark is very good at what he does. But
he is still situational, too.
He's situational. Exactly. So you go out. I think in that case, you would have a roster spot open or two. So you can go out.
I mean, there's another. Are they going to do another front court deal? But like, I don't know. You know the league better. Are there other center options out there?
Not Brandon Clark's, but I mean – Not the money situation would be funny. Like, in theory, the first name that will pop up is Robert Williams. You know, the Blazers are, you know, they're hoarding centers over there. They got too many.
Which is a great way to tank.
it's a phenomenal way to tank. Like, they played games this season with Robert Williams at power forward. And, oh, my God. But that wouldn't work money-wise if you're coming off of Luke, Brandon, and Marcus, because in theory, you would need at least one of those contracts to kind of facilitate that. So I think they would just have to go bargain hunting. You say, Bismack, what you up to?
Still good, bro?
JaVale McGee, you doing anything these days?
Is he alive?
Cooking
too? All right.
Look, you just say, look, we need you for 2 months.
I learned something today.
We need you for two months.
I learned something today. Valentine's Day is coming up, and Robert Irwin Jewelers has the trifecta for you. You can shop now through Valentine's Day and get a dozen fresh roses and a box of chocolates free with any purchase of $99 or more. Pick them up with your voucher between February 11th through 14th while supplies last. Obviously, you're getting the voucher so you can get the fresh roses there for Valentine's Day. Options to check out. Check out the Above Love Star Diamond Engagement Ring. It's an extraordinary diamond featuring 100 facets and a hidden star in the center for an unmatched sparkle. Each Above Love Star Diamond comes with a diamond viewing scope to see your star for yourself. Engagement rings start at just $29.99. They also have the Diamond Essentials, the Love's Cross Diamond Necklace, and also now, they have the 2-carat lab-grown diamond tennis bracelets, one of the hottest gifts of the season. You can get yours for just $7.99, but you better hurry in because there's only for a limited time and supplies are limited. Again, with your free purchase of $99 or more, you get the dozen fresh roses and a box of chocolates. You can also check out great financing options at Robert Irwin Jewelers, like 12 months interest-free financing, or take up to 60 months to pay. You can shop early for the best selection. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, all at Robert Irwin Jewelers. 5 locations or shop online at rijewelers.com. We got another name added to the trade market. We'll tell you about that. Also want to get into some college hoops and some of Ed Scott's comments to Jeff Calkins. We'll do all that when we come back in the list and hour number two. Stick around and listen to Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM. Zen Sports has done it again. They're rolling out another big-time sweepstakes, this time for the month of January. It's the VIP Players Club sweepstakes, and the prizes are raised to a whole new level. This month, one grand prize winner will win a $10,000 bonus bet on the NFL big game in February and $10,000 cash or an alternative prize of $15,000 cash. You have the ability to earn entries on every bet you place in January and every dollar you wager. Plus, you can earn 10 times the entries on all parlay bets. It doesn't get much better than this. And if you don't win the grand prize, don't worry. You also have a shot to win one of 5 smaller prizes, which grant you either a $1,000 bonus bet on the NFL big game or $250 cash. Also, for all new customers who sign up using code JEFFTN, J-E-F-F-T-N, you will receive 500 bonus entries in addition to the entries earned from the value of the qualifying bet. Head on over to zensports.com for a full list of rules, and you can also earn a $100 no danger first wager with your first bet. Zen Sports, betting just got better. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. You must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Let's get into the list. Tigers. Yeah, over at the Daily Memphian, Jeff Calkins had a sit down with Ed Scott. And there are a few things, a lot of topics that are hit, including goals about the future of the athletic program, discussions about, honestly, feelings about Ryan Silverfield, attendance, whatnot. Here's, though, the one thing that I wanted to get to. So Jeff has also separately done another story. It's more of like a news story about the updated plans for Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium.
Yeah.
So I wanted to go through a couple of those. When renovation of Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium has been finished, capacity will be between 42,000 and 4,400, according to University of Memphis Athletic Director Ed Scott, not the 50,000 initially planned. Scott, who confirmed ownership of the stadium, has been formally transferred from the City of Memphis to the school's Auxiliary Services Foundation, said plans have been revised to the right size, quote, stadium for Memphis. We sat down, we looked at what made sense. The worst thing we could do for that stadium is we renovate the stadium. It looks gorgeous, and it's empty right. Scott said the capacity we reduced by tweaking the phase 3 of the 3-phase construction project, which was originally going to include a shelf of seats above the new Party Plaza on the west side. So if you've gone and you've seen the plans, basically now, like, you're going to see the new tower, the upgraded seats, and then the party deck, but they're not going to have the overhang. What we like, if you use the FedEx Forum analogy, like there's no club level.
Yeah.
Whatever we're calling the pinnacle. What is it? Pinnacle now?
Pinnacle?
Yeah. It was always the club level. Yeah. All right. So here's a couple of things. Number one, there's nothing he said there that I disagree with. I also think that this is also probably true. Doing the other phase would be more expensive. I think this decision was way more based on
a cost efficient
correct
decision.
And I don't even think that's necessarily a bad thing. When construction costs have gone through the roof.
Yeah.
Like you look at it, schools that are doing well, like Tennessee's shelved construction projects. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So construction costs have gone way up. But also, this is kind of the other thing that I keep coming back to. The University of Memphis was very aggressive in getting the state money, and they even made it, honestly, a situation in the city that I thought was not feasible. With that being said, their right was to fight for the school. They did what they thought was best for the school. They got the money. In the end, they win. I'm now more afraid than ever we're going to get two renovations between Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium and the Forum.
The Forum, yeah.
That you're just going to walk through and you're like, we paid for what?
Mm.
And maybe not as much with the Liberty Bowl, because with the Liberty Bowl, just having a new concourse makes it feel like a different stadium.
Yeah.
Because I've always felt like games in the Liberty Bowl, when you're watching the game inside the stadium, it's great. Like, the sight lines Liberty are great. Like, I love the way that it seats. And, like, I'm not even doing a bit here. I used to always do the bit, great sight lines. I actually firmly believe that. Uh-huh. Like, I've watched a lot of bad football games in there with great sight lines. But it's, like, the stuff around it and in the bowls, like, it just feels dungy. Like, you feel like you just walk in and you're just smelling, like, rot. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's that element.
So,
so like, that addition is going to feel great, but, like, that's also not the whole stadium. That's a portion of the stadium. It's the home side. That's fine. But, man, if we just, like, clawed each other's eyes out and we're just going to get two underwhelming renovations, I'm going to sit there and go, like, well, what was all this
for? What was the point?
Yes.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, I listening to Ed Scott, I mean, for one, he's very stern and like,
determined is the word.
I mean what I say.
Yep.
Like, I think he said something like, we're not doing this for the Southern Heritage Classic. We're not doing this for, you know, like, this is for University of Memphis. And it makes sense. You know, I mean, would they feel 50,000? You know, like.
So, it's, like, my thing is, I kind of agree with the general premise of take capacity down.
Yeah.
Across the board, what we're seeing is, because more so when I'm growing up, you're a little bit younger than I am, more when I was growing up, every stadium expansion was always get more seats, get more seats, get more seats.
Yeah. The SEC had like a barrage of them like 10 years ago.
Yeah, like the race war of like who could actually, the attendance war, excuse me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Attendance race of like who could get there. Like,
mm-hmm.
But now what has been the formula, and this is kind of what's hurting FedEx Forum, because at the era that FedEx Forum is built, we don't build arenas that way anymore, which was the premium selling point of FedEx Forum was the courtside suites, the suites that were 18 rows up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then what people started figuring out is, why am I buying an entire box at 5x the cost that I can just go buy awesome seats and I can hand them out to customers anyway?
Yeah.
So the business model changed. So if you look at Fiserv Forum with the Bucks, which is newer, Fiserv or Chase?
Chase.
Okay.
The new Chases, yeah, like 4 years.
Chase is still, Chase is different than the, like, compare Chase to the Staples Center. Staples Center's got like five decks of suites.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like this monstrous cabinet.
They do.
Chase does not have that. Mm-mm. It's way more premium. It's like seats in the lower bowl and whatnot. But Milwaukee, to me, is like the gold standard. It's like 17,000 or 17,500, something like that. And basically, like 12,000 of it is the lower bowl.
Yeah.
And then they have like that one row of suites above it and then a smaller lower deck.
And then you're starting to see the lounge.
Correct. And so obviously that's something that the Grizzlies would like to do.
Mm-hmm.
But the cost of flipping
is
basically building a new arena.
Yeah.
And so Like, obviously, there's going to be some improvements that need to be made, and you're not going to sit there and go, like, oh, well, what did we do here? I'm very fearful of two underwhelming renovations.
I think that's fair. I mean, I definitely think that's fair.
All right, let's get into some NBA. De'Aaron Fox. All right, from Sham Sharania. The Sacramento Kings are expected to open up talks for a potential trade. For a potential De'Aaron Fox trade ahead of the February 6th deadline, sources told ESPN's Sham Sharania on Tuesday. I always love when you have a story written by yourself and you cite yourself. Fox, 27, has 1 year left on his contract before he hits free agency in the summer of 26, so he's in Jaren's class.
Yep.
There will be plenty of suitors for Fox, who made an All-NBA team in 22-23, but it's believed that the Kings point guard has a destination in mind of his free agency, sources said. So,
wonder who that could be.
Let's hear it, Sherlock. What are you thinking?
Houston. It makes a lot of sense.
So it gives them a pure point guard.
Gives them a point guard.
The only hesitation, though, that I have is
they got the assets.
Is De'Aaron Fox an Ime guy? But then I mean, how many are there, like, in the point guard spot?
But he, one thing that you, I've been watching him since, you know, like, he was in college. We went to some of those games. He likes
the Kentucky North Carolina game was one of my favorite basketball games I've ever covered. It was awesome.
Sure. He competes defensively. Like, he's one of, like, think about Jalen Wells. If you look at the advanced numbers for Jalen Wells, and we all kind of like, we see how he competes on the defensive end. Advanced numbers are not kind to him defensively. They don't see a great defender there. The eye test, we see that he's given Steph Curry.
Yeah, and it makes sense to me why the eye test isn't, because they really are playing him like a cat coverage corner.
Yeah.
It's literally go cover that cat.
Yeah, and don't worry about anything else.
Correct.
But De'Aaron Fox, one thing that I've always admired watching him is in an era where we've seen point guards kind of go away from guarding each other and, hey, you just guard the spot up guy in the corner.
Let's guard the weakest perimeter guy.
The weakest perimeter
let's
guy.
Hide you. Yeah.
Yep. De'Aaron Fox guards point guards and he gets after them. And he's always been that type of defender. So I think he fits from the standpoint of he doesn't mind, you know, getting his hands dirtier, so to speak. Like a lot of point guards, like you said, we don't really see that. He can close games, which if you look at Houston right now, they're one of the worst 3-point shooting teams in NBA. Closing games is a question for them. You know, as you talk about the playoffs and stuff and how they translate.
Totally.
He elevates that. They can easily make it work because, and this is what I would do. I'll be curious to see what you would do, but I would build a package probably around Reed Shepard. That's your, hey, here's the flashy toy for you, Sacramento, because you got to give them something. I don't think, at first, Jalen Green sounded like a guy you wanted to move. You're not moving Jalen Green with the way he's been playing. And you got him on a nice contract since you re-signed him.
Okay, while I'm not pushing back, I'll play devil's advocate.
Okay.
If you're Houston, no one's got more information on Jalen Green than you do.
Right.
Could this not be like a great time to sell Jalen Green? Because there's a lot of questions how much they believed in him.
And like, is this just
has this changed it, or are they sitting there going, dude's on a heater, like, now?
That's fair, but I feel like Amen Thompson has kind of unlocked some things from him. I think that's part of it. Him being in the starting lineup and allowing them to play faster and having multiple guys. I mean, he's a game changer for them, as we're seeing right now.
I mean, it's the biggest, like, to me, it's probably, well, Sengun's been awesome, too.
Yeah.
Thompson's great.
But both ways, he's incredible. Yeah. Like, he's a game changer for them. Jabari, I don't think the Kings would want him because you got Keegan Murray.
Yeah. Unless they're just trying to do like a whole.
You got Devin Carter. That's one guard. Put Reed Shepard. Like, there's a pathway there. Like, okay, these are our future backcourt. So you build it around him. Of course, Fred VanVleet probably would be in the deal to make the money work. Maybe Dylan Brooks would be in the deal to make the money work if you don't want to go for
it. Just don't do it until Thursday because Dylan made 10 threes last night.
Yeah.
And I'm always
watching. Oh, you know what's coming. You know what's coming. He's thinking he can make 10 again. I think that makes too much sense. They have the package we're talking about. I feel like two other teams come to mind as teams that theoretically make sense from a personnel standpoint. Orlando makes sense from a personnel standpoint because they can't score. They're one of the best defenses in the league. They have two stars as wings, but they're at the bottom of the league in points. They just can't score.
How much of that, though, is Paolo being out for as long?
They couldn't score in the playoffs last year.
I mean, in the end, that's why they got beat.
Did you watch those games?
Oh, my. Well, I believe it's the first series ever that it felt like all seven games were on NBA TV. It was the most unusual seven-game series I've seen where it was like one game was close.
Yeah.
It felt like maybe two.
Yeah.
But, I mean, no, those were rock fights.
Nasty.
Yes.
Like Alabama LSU 2011.
I got one. It was like watching the NBA version of the first half of the Tigers in Wichita State last Thursday. That was gross.
That was
like
bad.
Munz even said, he's like, that's not basketball.
That hurts.
I don't even
eyes.
Know what that was. Yeah. Like, that was disgusting. So the other potential suitors, I saw Yahoo listed. Spurs.
That makes sense. That's the other one.
You get your young guy to pair with Wemby.
Yep.
They of course list the Rockets.
Yep.
They list the Magic. And then I feel like this is a team that's just getting listed anytime anyone becomes available.
Is it the
because
Lakers?
No. Okay. The Nets. I feel like everyone's throwing the Nets out there because they're going to do something.
They're going to have all this money.
They're going to have a package. They're going to do something. No, in fact, Shams even singled out one team not expected to be a part of the conversation
is the Lakers.
Yeah,
because you got to. Because as soon as these things happen, people are.
Who can GM LeBron trade this deadline?
Yeah. They just don't have it.
Who can they?
They don't have a lot.
Can he trade Rui?
Yeah, in theory, but Rui's contract is not big enough. You got him kind of on a decent deal. So if you're star hunting, you can't. They're not chasing Austin Reeves.
This doesn't feel like a star hunting deadline, with the exception of Butler.
And now Fox.
Who else do you think could
Brandon Ingram?
Is that star hunting?
I mean, he's a former All-Star, but
okay.
I feel like you can, you know, there's a gap between those guys and the Cam Johnson, and then when you go below that.
Would Ingram, if the Lakers traded for him, would he get a coming home video? Do you get a coming home video when they openly ship you out, couldn't wait to get rid of you?
I don't think Russell got one of those.
I hate to say it, Russell bothers me as much as the next Memphian.
Yeah.
In this role, he's been pretty good this year.
Yeah.
He's been pretty solid.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk some college hoops. We got a big one tonight Knoxville. The Vols hosting the Kentucky Wildcats. Also, we got some updated bracketology. Tell you where the Tigers are listed in that. Lots to get to from the World College of Basketball. We'll do that next right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM.
Zins. What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports is rolling out another fantastic sweepstakes. This time it's the VIP Players Club sweepstakes for the month of January. Still time to get involved. This month, one grand prize winner will win a $10,000 bonus bet on the NFL big game in February and $10,000 cash or an alternative prize of $15,000 cash. You have the ability to earn entries on every bet you place in January and every dollar you wager. Plus, earn 10 times the entries on all parlay bets. It doesn't get much better than this. If you don't win the grand prize, don't worry. You'll also have a shot to win one of five small prizes, which will grant you either a $1,000 bonus bet on the NFL big game or $250 cash. Also, for all new customers who sign up using code JEFFTN, J-E-F-F-T-N, you'll receive 500 bonus entries in addition to the entries earned from the value of your qualifying bet. Head on over to zensports.com/sweepstakes for a full list of rules, and you can earn a $100 no-danger first wager on your first bet. Zen Sports, betting just got better. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. No danger. First wagers limited to a plus 500 odds to qualify. Terms and conditions do apply. For clarity, a qualifying wager for entry must have a minimum odds for any leg of the entry at least minus 250 or worse American odds. A minus 251 odds play does not qualify. A qualifying wager entry must be made for a minimum amount of $5. Head on over to zensports.com/sweepstakes for contest terms and conditions. You must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. All right, so we got Tennessee, Kentucky. We'll get into that in just a moment, but also wanted to take a moment and get into a little bracketology. So Munns over at the CA has updated where Memphis stands in all of the projections so far. Yep. Joe Lenardi, Joey Brackets, has the Tigers as a 5 seed. They would be taking on Bradley in Denver as part of the Midwest region, which runs through Indy this year. If that plays out, the Tigers would play the winner of Illinois-Samford. Jerry Palm of CBS Sports also predicts the Tigers will be a number 5 seed, this time in the South. He has them moving up one seed line from his previous projections. He would have them facing VCU in Providence on the opening weekend. Palm would have them matched up with 4 seed Wisconsin, 13 seed MTSU. USA Today has the Tigers as a 6 seed facing either Ohio State or UCF in Seattle first round, so they would be playing the winner of the play-in game. Bracketville's Dave Amon has Memphis in his latest bracket as a 5 seed taking on McNeese State. Will Wade, shout out to y'all last night. On 3 has the Tigers as a 6. So basically we're looking at the 5-6 line. This is kind of the question that I don't really have a great answer to, because Jeff this morning threw out the poll question of what's more troubling, the Grizzlies against good teams or the Tigers against bad teams. And on the surface, it to me kind of seems obvious that it should be Grizzlies versus the Grizzlies versus good teams, because as you pointed out last night, there's only good teams in the playoffs.
No.
Where I am sympathetic to those that chose to go with Memphis, I don't think that's just having on your Tiger blue glasses. Where I'm sympathetic is literally one loss, if it's the wrong loss, like moves you down significantly. Yeah. And then you start
to have a lot of room for error.
You take another two, because I was asking Munns this yesterday, and admittedly, a lot of this depends on things that you don't control, how the other leagues do, whatnot. But the problem is every loss that you take is a bad loss now.
Yep.
And so you're having to fight bad loss moving down the seating. So, for instance, Ole Miss last week goes 0-2, and they've now lost three straight. Well, they've moved from a 4 to a 5.
Yeah.
Like, because all three losses were quad one losses.
Really good.
Nothing
SEC
hurts
teams.
You. Mm-hmm. Who else would I think? Oh, Oregon last night. Or Oregon lost on, they lose Saturday. They lost, I can't remember if they lost on Saturday. They played Minnesota at Minnesota. I think they lost on Saturday. Like, I think they maybe moved down one spot.
Only one spot to
Whereas
Minnesota.
Every time Memphis loses,
oh, yeah.
It's multiple spots.
Yeah.
All right, so here's the other thing before we get to Tennessee-Kentucky. Mm-hmm. All right now, Lenardi has 13 SEC teams in his field, 9 Big Ten teams. So we're talking 22 bids from those two leagues.
Yeah.
The 13 would be a tournament record for one conference. I will never forget. Shout out to the 2011 Big East.
Big East.
11 of 16, and I believe the stat was by the end of the first weekend, the city of Richmond had more teams left in the NCAA tournament than the Big East did. So that I took great, great, great pride in that. I think this is safe to say.
Okay.
I think they're going to get 11 or more. I'm still not sure I'm buying that they're going to get
13.
Like, you've even seen, like, some people are throwing out 14. I just think there's going to be too much attrition.
But as you said, the losses.
Yeah, I mean, like, okay.
But what you're seeing now, they're all beating each other.
Correct.
Did
you see Archie Miller?
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
For those that missed it. Archie got teed up for a question about the SEC being the best league, and Archie pointed out, well, since conference play started,
they're
54 and 54.
Mm-hmm. He took the bait, didn't he?
Archie, they're only playing SEC teams. There's going to be a winner and a loser. Of course the league's going to be 54 and 54.
And they're going to be 55 and 55 after the next game.
Because, so, like, I guess this is what I would say. Like, here are his bubble teams.
Mm-hmm.
So he has last four byes, so the teams that don't have to play the play-in. Oklahoma, admittedly, I don't believe in them. I think they scheduled their way to relevancy early, and ever since we've gotten into league play, no thank you. Georgia, I think Georgia's solid.
They are.
They're fine.
They're going to win some home games.
Correct. I like how you said that. They're going to win some home games, because that's really what's boiling down.
Mm-hmm.
Then he has Texas, who I'm convinced this only happened because the gambling syndicate on Saturday had A&M Moneyline. Historic loss.
Yeah.
First time ever coming back from a 22-point deficit. It was the biggest loss and the biggest comeback win in Texas history and the biggest loss in A&M history. A&M with quite the wild week, going from being down like 8 with like 90 seconds left at Ole Miss, winning that game, and then losing to Texas. Like, that was quite the ride. And then he also has, so he has Texas in the last four in. I just don't believe.
They're too close.
Those are two teams that, like, I'm not convinced. I think you can talk me into 12. Like, I guess on the fringes, you still have Vandy.
It's going to come all the way down to tournament play. Like, where's Vandy right now? Are they out?
Vandy right now is out. Or no, did he? No, because Vandy's had a really good week.
Yeah, they have.
Vandy, because Vandy beat Tennessee. Vandy is a 9.
They're a 9. Okay. So, it's going to come down to something as simple as who can get to the day two, day three.
Because right now, Carolina's 0-7 in league play. Arkansas's 1-6. LSU's 1-5. He's kind of drawing the line at those are out. Now, I would still also say, if Arkansas,
I'm not shutting the door on Arkansas.
I'm not either. I'm waiting for. I'm listening to every.
Look at the losses.
I'm listening to every Cal post game, waiting to hear these kids to my guys.
Yeah,
and also their schedule, like at the back end, like it's set up for a little run.
As much as you can be in the SEC.
Okay, now let's get to tonight. So the Vols hosting Kentucky.
Mm.
Kentucky comes in with some injury concerns.
Yeah.
So
big one.
I saw the line, and again, number 8 versus number 12. It's obviously a Tennessee home game. You'd fully expect Tennessee to be favored. The line right now is 11.
Man.
That line is so insanely high that it makes me want to bet Tennessee. Because that is like the obvious. Like, just go grab those points.
Yeah.
They're giving you Kentucky an 11? You're not asking Kentucky to win.
People are hammering it.
That shocks me. So, injury-wise, Lamont Butler is out.
Lamont Butler is the big one. Yep. And
apparently the backup point guard's out too, Kreisa. Yep. And Andrew Carr is questionable.
So they might turn to the freshman.
This just feels like, and also that's the other thing. If you want to fade Tennessee on the road, be my guest.
Yeah.
Tennessee at home is not really like a, not really something I really want to a buzzsaw. Now, normally the right thing to do in this is just lay off this game. Yeah, like there's
just get away from
it. But I can't see, I can't unsee it. I just saw it. And it's like, it's going to be at 6 p.m. It's going to be
It's 11, and I'm telling you, it makes sense for Tennessee to have their way in this game by just relentless ball pressuring Kentucky, because Kentucky is without Lamont. They're going to have probably – there's going to be a shortage of guards who can withstand Tennessee's ball pressure.
The other aspect of it is, how did you feel about the Auburn-Tennessee game?
It was a Rick Barnes special from the standpoint of it was ugly, it was muddy. They played their style.
It was more of
their style than Auburn's. But Auburn pulled it out.
I guess the way that I was looking at it, though, is Tennessee deserves all the credit in the world for making it a one-possession game and having a chance to win the game.
Yeah.
I just felt like when I was watching it, I felt like, man, if Tennessee wins this game, like they've escaped with a win.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's part of sports.
Like, yeah, I felt like Auburn was in control a lot of that game.
And then Kentucky's coming off of the disastrous final 90 seconds, 2 minutes against Vanderbilt.
Yep.
And Vanderbilt. And so you got both teams coming off a loss. I don't know. It's just that line's just so insanely high that it's like it's screaming it. Maybe I'm just the idiot. But to your point, was it DraftKings or FanDuel that said?
DraftKings has 95%. Are on Kentucky.
And the number's been going up.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Let's get over some wager talk. Also, quick shout out last night to the Iowa State Cyclones. Your boy had a round robin parlay going. And as long as Iowa State wins the game, we were fine. That was the Caleb Love experience, late night, 90 seconds. Caleb Love was god awful the whole night. One for ten from three. Shot, and like bad misses. Hits a 60-footer, and it was like that was just all I needed to get into rhythm. And then I don't think he missed in the second half.
It was over.
Okay, so over at Wager Talk, they're showing 70% of bets on Kentucky, but only 61% of money. But still to your point.
Yeah.
I don't know. How do you see it?
It's hard to say they covered, but man. 11?
I also feel like these aren't the teams that give Tennessee problems.
No.
I feel like the teams that give Tennessee problems are the teams that are kind of mirror images of themselves, because then it kind of becomes like a shot-making competition. But like when you get them with the team that stylistically wants to go tempo, get it up, it's like they just kind of like give them a rib shot and then it's like we're not playing like that.
Yeah. They can take control of the – I mean like they just did against Auburn.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously, Broome's injury impacts it.
Yeah, right.
Like he played a little, but it wasn't like he was.
He wasn't 100%.
Like you could tell that.
Yeah.
The team that wins the SEC is.
The team that wins the SEC. Oh, man. I'm still going to say Auburn right now.
All right. And here's the other question I have. How many losses?
I say 5.
It does feel like that kind of year.
They have
so they're at 6-0.
Yep.
Bama's at 6-1. Florida's 5-2.
Florida's 5-2.
Mizzou 5-2.
I'm gonna say 4.
Tennessee 4-3. A&M 4-3. Ole Miss, Mississippi State 4-3. I'm trying to think who Auburn. So Auburn still has left. Florida, but that's a home game. 2 Bama games.
Yep.
Away at Kentucky. Away at A&M, and then they host Ole Miss twice, and they have to go to Vanderbilt as well.
I mean, they could win.
I'm like, Auburn's winning.
Yeah, but I mean, it's at Bama. That's Kentucky or A&M might get them.
I can buy one of those games.
One of those games. And then I say they, you know, they have one clunker at home.
I'm gonna say Auburn at four losses.
Because that's my number, but I want them to go back to three, but I might say 4-2.
Because I'm going to look at who Bama's got left. So Bama's got State on the road tomorrow. Then they get
Bama has a stretch. I think that
Georgia at home.
They have a tall. Oh,
so here's their close at Arkansas, at Texas.
It's brutal.
Auburn at home, at Mizzou, Kentucky at home, Mississippi State at home.
Toughest finish in the league.
At Tennessee, Florida at home, Auburn. They play the
toughest finish.
Basically, the five of the projected, I think, top six teams in the league, and they were the other one.
They're the other one. Yep.
And in the final six. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll tell your story next. We'll do that right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, DeMichael. I know everybody was waiting on bated breath for Pro Bowl announcements, but welcome to the Pro Bowl games, Russell Wilson and Drake May. The pair of quarterbacks were named as replacements for Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson on the AFC roster, respectively. Meanwhile, in the NFC, Tampa Bay Bucs quarterback Baker Mayfield was named as a replacement for Jaden Daniels. With this year's nod, Wilson has been named to the Pro Bowl 10 times, while May earned his first nod after his rookie season. Again, all due respect to Tyler Huntley, the Pro Bowl is the definition of don't tell these story, tell your story. Like, it's Russ was a Pro Bowl quarterback. And, like, I get it, it's replacements and whatnot. Also, it's important to note, Patrick Mahomes was the first alternate. He obviously will not be playing. He's playing in the Super Bowl. So our long national nightmare is over. Pat will be honored as a Pro Bowler, even though he will be replaced. So, like, this is the other thing I realized on Sunday.
Yeah.
We can argue till we're blue in the face about who the second best quarterback is. Mm. We're done. Like, it's still, it's just every playoffs you're reminded, like, it's his world. We're just fortunate to live in.
And you feel like he's going to lose. And you're like, maybe this is the one. And it's never the one.
Yeah, Brady lost him. Brady lost Super Bowls. Yeah. There had to be a helmet catch in Mario Manningham making one of the greatest sideline catches.
The only way.
Maybe Dalton Kincaid should have caught it, too. Want to thank DeMichael for being in studio. Always loving having him here. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast show after the program ends. For Dennis, for DeMichael, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.